I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360, and it's time now for this week's cover story. The baseball season will be starting soon, and many eyes will be on one player, Alex Rodriguez, or A-Rod, the Texas Rangers' new shortstop. Late last year, A-Rod became the highest-paid man in baseball when he signed a 10-year, $252 million contract. Baseball is supposed to be a team sport. What happens to teamwork when one player is paid so much more than his teammates? That started us thinking about the whole idea of teamwork, a group of people working toward a common goal, and the arts. Arts teams. Is this an oxymoron? My special guest today, Michael York, says no, not at all. Over the course of his 30-year career, Michael York has been in more than 80 films, including Logan's Run, Romeo and Juliet, and The Three Musketeers. Most recently, he played the role of Basil Exposition in the wonderful Austin Powers movies. But York's passion has always been Shakespeare. He has a new book out, A Shakespearean Actor Prepares, which he co-wrote with his friend, the director and teacher Adrian Brine. Michael, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much, Kurt. It's great to be here.
Your relationship with Shakespeare goes way back, does it not?
Yes, I mean, I was brought up in England, so he's very much a presence there. And unfortunately, so often killed off in the classroom as an academic subject. But I think I was very lucky that I, in fact, went to a school that had the longest tradition of performing Shakespeare. It was a college called Hurstpier Point College, and I was just a little kind of prep school kid with a cap and shorts. But it was wonderful. There I saw, you know, some of the great productions, not quite understanding them. I mean, Cymbeline, for example, which is actually a great play to start with, this story about, you know, magic and headless bodies and Romans and ancient Britons and so on.
Perfect to engage kids.
Exactly,
in
Shakespeare. Yes. And Shakespeare always has this extraordinary sense of wonder. And also to hear that language for the first time. I think I was just coming to terms with this because we had chapel lessons and we had to read the lessons, or you were chosen to do this. And, you know, becoming aware for the first time of this extraordinary thing that we'd inherited, you know, this great oral tradition.
Which is very, very different, as you say, than reading Shakespeare in the classroom.
You're absolutely right. I think once you set it up and breathe life into it and treat it as drama, of course, you're going to get a great deal of pleasure from reading it. You know, the poetry is so intense, and they're very amusing pieces. There's no wonder that they've been, you know, they're still being done 400 years later. But I think that's the key to it. And that was our setting out point of view. The book, in fact, came out of a correspondence that I'd had with Adrian. He's my oldest friend. We'd known each other 40 years, and both being in the business. He mostly in continental Europe, but with this rather old-fashioned habit of writing to each other, writing letters in pen and ink, and about what we were doing and other things. And someone saw this correspondence or heard about it and suggested that maybe there was a book in there, you know, about, you know, our lives in art. And we thought about, you know, a book on acting, but it seemed to us it would be a rather short book, because either you do it or you can do it or you can't, you know, you learn by doing it. It's this, and you never stop learning. And but a book about Shakespeare was something else. We both, you know, loved him, this side of idolatry. And also because we felt maybe we could offer an insight. When you've actually had to kind of set it up on stage or inhabit the roles, you do have a different insight from the academics who are regarding Shakespeare as text. And oftentimes you feel that, you know, they've never actually sat in the theater and had an inkling of sight lines and all those practical things that, you know, directors have to deal with. So that was our setting off point, that whoever Shakespeare was, whether he was, you know, Warwickshire yokel of tradition, accepted tradition, or Elizabethan nobleman of the Oxfordian tradition. Whoever he was writing plays for actors to interpret for text, and within these texts, he was giving the signposts as how he wanted them performed.
How long has it been since you've performed Shakespeare? A very long time?
Well, curiously enough, I haven't played it with a company for some time. But what I have been doing, I have a one-man Shakespeare show that I've been performing internationally for the last 5 years. I put it together, and I can do it anywhere. And it's meant to be done exactly, you know, you could do it, you know, literally anywhere. It doesn't need lights or stage management. And I've had great pleasure doing that all over the country, and from, you know, universities to clubs and whatever.
Now, you obviously have a deep understanding and have spent a great deal of time thinking about the mechanics and craft and spirit of acting and acting Shakespeare. Do those same lessons and rules apply to your wonderful performances in movies like Austin Powers?
I think it's all grist to the mill. It's all part of the, of what one does. And I think you learn from everything you do. And the other thing is the constant surprise one has with what works. I remember when Austin Powers was being previewed and we were putting it together, there were very long faces around because it hadn't been testing well. This is a new thing where you test everything. It's rather like polling everyone, you know. you try and second-guess everything. So I kept coming in. I remember going in London, adding more lines, because there's Basil Exposition. I could explain things.
Yes, and that was part of the comedy and the, you know.
But, I mean, I think of... I don't consider that, you know, if you're playing a small part, it can be just as challenging.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Basil.
The results are in. We've discovered trace elements of a rare vegetable found only on one island here in the Caribbean.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean, Basil?
It means that this is the location of Dr. Evil's lair.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Over the top.
you were a contemporary of Austin Powers. You were a swinging 60s guy in London.
Absolutely. In fact, I made a film with Lynn Redgrave and Rita Tushingham called Smashing Time, and it was made in London just when swinging London was happening, when it was all dead, pacey and groovy, as they say in the film. And I said to Mike Myers, I said, listen, before you go any further, you've got to watch this movie, which is a sort of documentary of the times. And please believe me that those costumes and those clothes are not inventions. That's what people were wearing at the time. So I was very pleased to see that in the sequel, The Spy Who Shagged Me, that Mike played a swinging London photographer, exactly like the character that I'd played in Smashing Time. But I think Shakespeare would have loved Austin Powers. I mean, he had such a bawdy imagination that this would have fitted in. I think he would have been very pleased.